KJAN Sports.
Time for Jacob Sports. Good morning. I'm Jim Field. Atlantic star pitcher Olivia Engler announced this past week that she'll continue her academic and softball career at Iowa Central Community College. Engler said the choice came down to Iowa Central and Indian Hills.
It was between Indian Hills and Iowa Central, and it was a really, really tough decision because they're both really good schools and schools that I definitely would want to be a part of. But Iowa Central had more of what I was looking for as far as my education, and it was just kind of what would work out for me the best, so that's why I chose Iowa Central.
Engler is coming off a very strong junior season where she posted a 14-2 record and had a 1.1 earned run average. She finished the season with 134 strikeouts, walking just 28. Opponents hit only .160 against Engler on the season. Engler said Iowa Central will use her in the circle. She said taking the next step to college ball is something that she's dreamed about for a long time.
Yes, absolutely. It's been something I've been wanting to do since I was like a little kid, and it's really nice to see that it like materialized.
Engler has one more year with the Atlantic squad next summer, and she's looking forward to leaving it all out there.
I'm not going to hold anything back going into the season. I don't want to be taking pitches off and then giving up home runs and doing that kind of stuff. I've been working a lot on hitting and pitching, and I'm going into the season as prepared as I can so that I will get a better outcome.
Engler was very strong offensively as well last season. She hit .471 with 8 doubles and 24 RBIs for Atlantic. We'll take a look at some high school activities last night in cross country at the Orient Maxburg Invitational. On the girls' side, it was Lily Dixon of Earlham winning the individual championship, with Chasey Rowan of West Central Valley second, Grace Slater of Audubon placing third. Also in the top 10, Krista Cass of Orient Maxburg at number 7, Cameron Paulson of Exira EHK placed 8th, Maya South of Cam was 9th, and Audubon's Caitlin Nielsen placing 10th in that meet last night. The team scoring saw Earlham with 41 points, the champs, Exira EHK, the runner-up, with 84 points. West Central Valley and Audubon were third and fourth in that meet. On the boys' side last night, it was Zach Dixon of Earlham leading the way as his team captured the first 6 spots in that meet last night. Ethan Fulman of Cam broke up the Earlham run. He was number 7. Cale Hazen of West Central Valley placing 8th. Orient Maxburg's Blake Thompson placed 9th in that meet last night. Also locally, Jackson Deist had the top finish for Audubon as he finished in 15th place. Cam had the numbers 20, 21, and 22 runners in Gavin Clayton, Ryland Oglesby, and Cale Moss. Jeremy Sheeter of Griswold led his team. He placed 25th in that meet last evening. In the team standings, it was Earlham winning the title with 15 points. Cam with 95, the runner-up. West Central Valley, Orient Maxburg, rounding out the top 4 teams. Just a couple of volleyball matches last night around the area. It was Underwood beating ACGC in 3 straights, and Glidden-Ralston also downing West Harrison in 3 straight last evening. Well, the weekly Radio Iowa High School football poll out yesterday. Here's a look at some of the top teams and the area squads that are in the poll. Southeast Polk is number 1 in Class 4A, with Dowling Catholic and Urbandale the top 3. In Class 3A, it's Dallas Center, Grimes number 1, Harlan ranked number 2, Cedar Rapids Xavier 3, Lewis Central in at number 4. In Class 2A, PCM, Williamsburg, and West Lyon are the top 3. Atlantic cracks the poll this week as they check in at number 8 in the Radio Iowa poll. In Class 1A, OABCIG and Van Meter are the top 2 teams. Underwood is ranked 3rd this week, which sets up a great matchup this Friday as OABCIG will play at Underwood. Also in Class A, Grundy Center, St. Ansgar, and Iowa City, Regina, the top 3. Logan Magnolia is at number 9. In the 8-man poll, Don Bosco, Remsen St. Mary's, 1 and 2. Audubon at number 3. Fremont Mills is in at 5. Cam at 7. Coon Rapids Bayard is rated number 10 in this week's poll. Audubon and Coon Rapids Bayard battle this Friday. Also in the Associated Press high school poll that came out yesterday, just a few differences. In 4A, Southeast Polk, Urbandale, Ankeny, the top 3. Council Bluffs Abe Lincoln just missed the top 10 this week. Also in 3A, Cedar Rapids Xavier and Dallas Center Grimes are 1 and 2, with Lewis Central 3 and Harlan number 4. Creston Orient Maxburg also got some votes and didn't make the top 10. In 2A, Williamsburg, West Lyon, and PCM are the top 3. Atlantic just missed the top 10 as they received votes but just missed out on being number 10 this week. In Class 1A, OABCIG, Van Meter, and Underwood are the top 3. In Class A, Grundy Center, St. Ansgar, and Iowa City, Regina are the top 3, with Logan Magnolia number 7, Riverside just missing the top 10 this week. Also an 8-man Gilbertville Don Bosco and Audubon tie for the top spot this week, with Remsen St. Mary's number 3, Cam is number 4, Fremont Mills 7, and Coon Rapids Bayard is tied with Gladbrook Rhinebeck for the number 9 spot in that poll. Well, the Oklahoma-Iowa State football series has been lopsided, but it's been more competitive since Matt Campbell took over the Cyclone program. ISU has only beaten the Sooners twice in their last 49 meetings, but they did win in Norman in 2017, and the last four games have been decided by 10 points or less.
You're going to have to do a good job taking care of the football, and you know, we've done that at times, and we haven't done that at times. And when we've done those things on offense and then, you know, had the ability to tackle on defense, those have given us opportunities to stay in football games.
Campbell says limiting mistakes and solid tackling are a must against teams like Oklahoma.
Obviously, you know, we want to get to the point in our program, which I think we're a lot closer today, that you don't just want to stay in games, you want to win those games. And so, you know, still a lot of work to do for us to continue to take that elite step forward, but you want to measure yourself against some of the best, and we certainly have that in this conference.
Oklahoma's coming off a loss at home in its Big 12 opener to Kansas State.
It's a team that's only played 2 football games. So, you know, a lot of areas where they got a lot of guys back and a lot of areas where they got really young, talented players that are flashing all over the screen. So, you know, I think a very similar OU team than we've played in the past.
Campbell says the Sooners always have a great deal of talent, and this season is no different.
That's one of the things that you know about OU is not only are they going to have super talented players, but they're really well coached, offensively, defensively, special teams, and it's why they've had the success that they've had.
Iowa State senior defensive end Jaquan Bailey was named the Big 12's co-defensive player of the week. That was announced by the Big 12 conference yesterday. Bailey, a native of Jacksonville, Florida, had a monster game in Iowa State's 37-34 win at TCU on Saturday. The senior set or tied 4 Iowa State school records, including equaling the school single game marks in sacks and tackles for loss. Bailey registered all of his sacks in the first half for a loss of 30 yards. He also had 7 tackles and a strip sack where he recovered the fumble, setting up an ISU touchdown late in the second quarter. Bailey's career day helped him eclipse Iowa State career records in sacks and tackles for loss. He currently ranks in the top 10 nationally in both categories. Bailey back on the field this weekend when Iowa State hosts Oklahoma. That's a night game coming up on Saturday. Northern Iowa coach Mark Farley says with the change in their season, the calendar is flipped. The Panthers will now play a spring season beginning in late February, and UNI opens practice this week. And Farley says it resembles spring drills.
We get 15 practices. Everything you guys know about spring balls is what is the rules that we're going by. The only difference is that if something should happen COVID-related where we lose some guys during the week, we can actually shut down for that week and then start back up a week later.
Well, Farley says one of his goals is to get all of the young players game ready. They'll also need to get the players ready for 2 seasons in 1 calendar year.
I mean, you're going to play this season January through May, take a month off, and then play August through December. So it totally changes everything in your off-season training. It'll take a toll playing all the time, but also we have to plan that we're going to be prepared, that we're going to have to take them into another 12-game season shortly after they finish this one.
The spring season will feature 8 games as well as the FCS playoffs. Notre Dame says it has 39 football players in isolation or quarantine as they deal with the COVID-19 outbreak that forced the team to postpone last week's game at Wake Forest. The Fighting Irish are not slated to play again until October 10th at home against Florida State. In a news release, Notre Dame said 18 football players tested positive last week, 7 of which had already been quarantined for contact tracing, had determined they'd been exposed to people who had already been infected. The school says a total of 25 players were in isolation after testing positive, and another 14 were being quarantined after contact tracing. Vanderbilt has changed its mind and will allow fans at sports events in October. The Commodores will also allow a limited number of students to attend Saturday night's football game with number 20 LSU. Athletic Director Candace Lee announced the reversal yesterday, calling it a small step toward normalcy based on the guidance from the university's public health partners. Vanderbilt students are tested weekly with strict protocols on campus. The result is a low COVID-19 positivity rate. Well, Patrick Mahomes put on a scintillating show while outperforming Lamar Jackson, and the Kansas City Chiefs deftly played the role of defending Super Bowl champions in a 34-20 thumping of the Baltimore Ravens last night. Just about everything Mahomes did worked against an overmatched Baltimore defense that had allowed only two touchdowns in its first two games. Mahomes threw four touchdown passes to help the Chiefs emphatically end the Ravens' 14-game regular season winning streak while extending their own run to 12 games, including playoffs. Jackson is 21-4 as the Ravens' starting quarterback, with three of those losses coming to Mahomes and the Chiefs. In other NFL news, the Houston Texans will have up to 13,300 fans at NRG Stadium for their game Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings. That move comes after the Texans played without fans in their home opener September 20th. The number of fans permitted is about 20% of stadium capacity. The team expects to allow the same number of fans at each of the remaining seven home games. Fans age 10 and older will be required to wear masks while in the stadium unless they're actively eating or drinking. No tailgating will be allowed. Chicago Bears head coach Matt Nagy has confirmed Nick Foles will start at quarterback Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts. Nagy made the announcement after hedging Sunday following the Bears' 30-26 win over the Atlanta Falcons. Foles had come on in relief of an ineffective Mitchell Trubisky. The Tampa Bay Lightning are the champions of bubble hockey. Braden Point scored his playoff best 14th goal, and the Lightning beat the Dallas Stars 2-0 to win the Stanley Cup and finish off the NHL playoffs staged in quarantine during the pandemic. The clock hitting zeros in an empty arena set off a wild celebration for a group that endured years of playoff heartbreak and 2 months in isolation. Goals from Point and Blake Coleman at a 22-save shutout by Andre Vasilevsky were enough to power the Lightning to their second championship in franchise history after they won it in 2004. Lightning defenseman Victor Hedman won the Conn Smythe Trophy as playoff MVP. The playoffs became a showcase of the big Swede's skills on both ends of the ice. He also showed key leadership in the absence of injured captain Steven Stamkos. In baseball news, Jay Johnstone, who won World Series titles as a versatile outfielder with the New York Yankees and the L.A. Dodgers while being baseball's Mary Prankster, has died. He was 74. His daughter, Mary Jane Sarah Johnstone, says her father died last weekend of complications from COVID-19, and he also had suffered from dementia in recent years. In the 1981 World Series, Johnstone had a pinch hit two-run homer in Game 4 that rallied the Dodgers to an 8-7 win over the Yankees. And the American League wildcard playoffs get underway today. Houston is at Minnesota, Chicago at Oakland, Toronto at Tampa Bay, New York at Cleveland. Those are all the first game of a best-of-three series. That's a check of sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.